What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show. It is Thursday, June 17th, 2021. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot of news to cover today. We're going to get through it as fast as we can so we can open up the phone lines afterwards. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's just get right on into it. We are still hearing the the after news from Joe Biden's meeting with Vladimir Putin, the summit. The Kremlin basically put out this very banal, vanilla statement that the summit was over, which everybody kind of knew anyway. But interesting little phrase came on out of TASS, where they said the Geneva summit was as good as could be under the circumstances. And this apparently was a quote from Yale University professor Odd Arne Westad. And so it sounds like there are already qualifiers on it. It's a tough job for the corporate media because they're out there trying to make it look like this was a huge political win for Biden, and they don't have anything to work with, really. So, meanwhile, Donald Trump blasted Biden after the Putin summit, basically saying that, you know, Russia, you know, made out really well. Biden has waived the Nord Stream 2 pipeline waivers, which is a big boost for Russia. And Trump is saying, you know, we didn't get anything for that. Biden just gave that away and he didn't ask for anything in return. And he does have a little bit of a point there. Apparently, close examination of the photos and videos show that Joe Biden had a large print set of notes, call them cheat cards, flashcards, whatever, to basically, guide him through his agenda with Putin. And so a little awkward over there. All right, let's get on to the subject of election fraud. We are hearing that the Maricopa County audit report on what they have found will be out sometime next week. The hand counting of the almost 2.1 billion ballots finished on Monday. They are now still evaluating paper ballots, looking for fraud, fake ballots, and so forth. That will finish in 10 days or less. So this is coming down to the wire, and more states are sending representatives to see what they're doing in Arizona as pressure builds for other states to conduct more and more audits. Story coming on out of Hideout Now, basically saying that, these SQL tools found on the voting machines in Pennsylvania and Michigan basically prove that election data could be read and or manipulated without leaving any trace in the Dominion system logs. And that's exactly it. Now, Hillary Clinton came on out, and we did mention this yesterday, but it's worth highlighting again today. Hillary Clinton came on out and said that if you question the 2020 election, you're doing Putin's work. You're a Russian stooge here. And it's kind of a little hypocritical for her to do that, because back in 2016, when she lost to Donald Trump, she was out there screaming the election was being rigged by the Russians. And, of course, she was behind this whole Russiagate hoax to try and damage Trump. So now she's out there saying that anybody who doubts the last November's election, you're a Russian stooge and so forth. Another little piece of information that has surfaced in a court case in Georgia, it shows that failed gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams financed and controlled all the staff for the Fulton County 2020 election. So again, you know, in there deciding who gets to be on the staff and who doesn't. She was basically controlling that election. Documents have surfaced showing that in the immediate aftermath of the 2020 election and amid the obvious signs of fraud, Donald Trump at one time consulted with lawyers and White House officials to, first of all, they pressured the Department of Justice to probe the election results, and they even considered asking the Supreme Court to authorize new elections in the key swing states, but they never moved forward on that particular idea. And, of course, the Department of Justice was turning a blind eye to all the election fraud from day one. All right, this is kind of a little suspicious here. Down in Mississippi, a former lawmaker, Ashley Henley, 40 years old, was found shot to death during the weekend in a rural area outside the burned home where her sister-in-law was found dead after Christmas. Now, the reason this is interesting is that Ashley Henley served in the State House from January 2016 to January 2020 from a district in DeSoto County. Now, when she lost to a Democratic rival, she challenged the outcome, saying that there had been voting irregularities, and tried to get an investigation going, which unfortunately didn't go anywhere. And now all of a sudden, somebody decided to shoot her dead. They're not even trying to claim it's a suicide. So, anyway. All right. Getting into local politics. Attorney General Merrick Garland has announced that the Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco will be in charge of the Department of Justice effort to frame political opposition as domestic terrorists. In other words, if you oppose liberalism, you are now a domestic terrorist. And Garland also went on to equate the January 6th Washington, D.C. protest to the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And he may actually be accurate, given that both of these events appear to have been manufactured for propaganda purposes. Little story, a little fact coming on out. During the U.S. Capitol protests, help was requested 12 times from the D.C. National Guard, and it was not provided. So somebody somewhere wanted this to get out of control. Tucker Carlson, and I'm amazed he still has a job, you know, he's saying that there is mounting evidence that the Trump insurrection was staged by the FBI, just as was Russiagate. And, you know, he called the FBI the greatest single threat to the American way of life. So we'll see how long he gets to keep his job, given that we now know, because of Project Veritas, that Fox News has gone over to the dark side. Over in the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi was trying to fast-track two bills through the House through a procedure called suspension of the rules. Now, this requires a two-thirds supermajority of the House to succeed, and she was trying to pass two highly controversial pieces of legislation. One was the LGBTQ Business Equal Credit Enforcement and Investment Acts that would have allowed for LGBTQ-owned businesses to get favorable treatment in lending in much the same way that minority-owned businesses currently do. It's highly discriminatory here. Now, the other bill was called the Equal Access to Contraception for Veterans Act, would have facilitated government-funded access to abortion drugs through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Neither of these bills succeeded. So Nancy Pelosi is batting 0-2 as of that here. Getting on back to Tucker Carlson, he took a few shots at Lori Lightfoot, calling her America's worst mayor, and accused her of caring more about radical socialism and raising the Juneteenth flag than tackling the violent crime problem in Chicago. And yes, it does seem that that is accurate. There was an interesting video that came out earlier, and it was basically in San Francisco, security cam. Actually, no, it was somebody did this with cell phone cameras at a Walgreens in San Francisco. Now, shoplifting there is very bad. Walgreens has actually closed several stores because the shoplifting has completely erased any profit they're making from regular sales. So anyway, this video showed this shoplifter who rode his bicycle into Walgreens carrying a trash bag and simply, you know, filled it up and then rode right back on out. And the video has gone viral showing the kind of problems that the city is facing. But over at CBS, Tony DeCoppola, who's co-host of CBS This Morning, tried to defend this guy, saying, you know, he needed something. Well, yeah, that's why you go to a Walgreens, but, you know, you're not supposed to take it. You know, the police right now are so afraid of offending the black community. You know, the security just stood there and let this guy do it and get off with it. Anyway, all right. Story here, fewer than a quarter of the voters trust the media's reporting on crime, and that is certainly accurate. We had this story about this gentleman who shot a store clerk over a mask argument, a face mask argument. Store clerk was black, so was the assailant. That fact was being withheld from the public in the corporate media. And then, of course, we had that other story about this black guy who went on a shooting spree across a couple of states shooting white people. And he said, yes, I hate white people, and I'm shooting them. Meanwhile, the media is still silent over Hunter Biden's racism, and we're not just talking about the N-word. On his laptop was found communications with a dating agency in which he said he didn't want any, quote, yellow-skinned Asian women. All righty. So, yeah, there's a reason not to trust the corporate media here. And, you know, the pettiness of the opposition is really amazing. There is a Trump supporter, Lauren Witzke. And without any warning, Wells Fargo shut down her bank account, had it a zero balance, basically just, you know, took all her money and left her stranded out of state with no money. And Witzke, in a post on Telegram, she ran as the Republican candidate for the Senate in Delaware in 2020. And said, you know, the Wells Fargo had completely shut down her account, leaving her with a zero balance. She called the bank, and she was told that the action was taken as a purely business decision, and they reserved the right to close anybody's account down anytime they care to. Now, Witzke fortunately had friends down in Florida who helped her get on back home. But she's very upset, and she well should be. It's another case of you know, businesses that should just be focused on their business getting very, very political. And because of this, I certainly would not do business with Wells Fargo. Righty. This is I think it's in New York, if I'm correct. Anyway, there's this Trump supporter, Andrea Dick, who has been fined $500 a day for having anti-Biden yard signs in her own backyard. Not the front lawn, in her backyard. And she is claiming that the signs outside her Roselle Park home are an expression of her right to free speech. And she's absolutely right. The First Amendment says that you can have any placards or signs out there that say how you feel about, you know, anything that's going on right now. So let's go on to COVID-19 because it's still with us and they're still trying to keep the fear up. Story coming on out of the Daily Mail. In Great Britain, they're trying to force nursing center workers to have the COVID vaccine. Now they're adding on to it. They're going to have to get the current flu shot as well. So they're just really exercising their authority over there. Meanwhile, over in Arizona, Governor Ducey has signed an executive order saying that schools cannot mandate vaccines on campus. And the governor is basically being lauded as standing up for his constituents. Now, this is a little alarming. This is from vaccinefromhell.com. And documents have surfaced in a confidentiality agreement between the U.S. National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, that's Fauci's little shop, and Moderna, showing that they transferred potential coronavirus vaccine candidates to the University of North Carolina on December 12, 2019, which was 19 days before the outbreak of the virus in China. And so they were working on a coronavirus vaccine before the outbreak officially started. And so how did they know, or did they cause the outbreak by dropping a test tube over there? Another story, this one out here, the Oxford coronavirus vaccine is now in doubt. They finally got around to doing an animal test on it using rhesus macaques, and all six of the participating monkeys caught the disease despite being vaccinated. And it's sloppy work here. What can I tell you? All righty. Up to 16,000 COVID survivors may have been reinfected. And they're saying that prior infection may not, in fact, protect against the troublesome variants. So, this thing is mutating rapidly, and that's a little scary. Somebody posed a very smart question. Since COVID-19 vaccines are said to be free for the health of the nation, why aren't they giving away vitamin D and other vital supplements? It's a good question. But, of course, these COVID-19 vaccines are not free. They're very expensive. Governments are paying for them out of your tax dollars. And that's money that is not available to go to the police departments or the educational system. So it's a little bit of a swindle to say that they're free. Over in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has joined the other governors in New York and California in lifting the last of the lockdown restrictions regarding COVID-19. So it would seem like, as we head into another election season, that some of these politicians are really starting to think that, we could actually have an honest election next time and we could all be in trouble. All right. Over in Newsweek, they had an article that basically admits vaccine manufacturers are exempt from lawsuit liability for deaths and injuries. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about this story that was in Newsweek, confirming that you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer for injury or death from their products. And this is enshrined in U.S. law in 42 U.S. Code Section 300AA-22, and it says, no vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death associated with the administration of a vaccine after October 1st, 1988. This is when this went into effect. If the injury or death resulted from side effects that were unavoidable, even though the vaccine was properly prepared and was accompanied by proper directions and warning. So that's it. They're immune from civil litigation. And the article then goes on to remind everybody that you can file a claim with the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is administered by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, to receive compensation if they are found to have been injured by one of the vaccines covered by the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And the process is very slow and it's cumbersome. And according to the Health Resources and Services Administration, even in cases in which such a finding is not made, petitioners may receive compensation through a settlement, but they're saying that the percentage receiving a settlement is very small. So that's it. And to me, that is another sign that this country has descended into fascism or corporatism, where government and corporations are aligned together against the general population. And this is definitely some of that. Interestingly enough, down in Texas, there is this judge in Polk County, District Court Judge Travis Kitchens, who came down with two rather weird decisions. In one case, there was a child rapist who was sentenced to 180 days of jail time. That's it. Then he went on to basically tell a father who was divorced from his wife that he could not visit his children unless he got the mandatory COVID vaccine. And that does seem rather interesting, to let the child rapist off so lightly, and then denying a father from seeing his own kids because he hasn't gotten this experimental gene therapy. Now, interestingly enough, the local Fox affiliate reporter who broke these two stories is the same woman who just got fired for reporting, you know, who tried to report about the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine and claims she was muzzled by Fox News Corp in doing so. This reminds me of the Fox synthetic bovine growth hormone lawsuit. We've talked about this in the past, and pardon me, Fox News assigned two of their reporters to do a story on Monsanto's then brand new synthetic bovine growth hormone. And these two reporters discovered very quickly that people who were eating the meat and dairy products from the treated livestock were developing strange health problems. And so they put that in the story. They went back to Fox News. Fox News said, take it out. The reporters said, no, this is a serious, serious problem. And because Monsanto has so much pull with the corporate media, Fox News fired the two reporters. The two reporters sued for wrongful termination, and they lost on appeal when the judge said there is no law requiring the corporate news media to tell the truth to the American people. And that is pretty much all you need to really know about corporate media. It's under no obligation to be truthful, apparently either morally, ethically, and certainly legally. Okay, getting on back to COVID, there is a problem with some of this pandemic emergency spending. It is riddled with fraud, these politicians and bureaucrats, you know, are really good at taking money from one group of people and giving it to another group of people. But apparently in this pandemic spending, there were staggering levels of fraud. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back. Oh, I have a little more time. I misread the clock again. My bad, my bad, my bad. All right. There is a new study, and it has found that hydroxychloroquine can increase Wuhan coronavirus survival rates by up to 200%, and it was even better when paired with azithromycin. Now, originally for malaria, you know, Donald Trump endorsed hydroxychloroquine as a COVID-19 treatment. He was criticized for it by the corporate media, which is still carrying the water for the vaccine industry. Okay, now it's time for a commercial break. And we'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show. And we've gotten a few phone calls recently, wondering what is the connection, what is the hand behind all of this propaganda and fear-mongering over COVID-19 and pushing the vaccine. And there does seem to be a very obvious intersection. There are two investment firms, Vanguard and BlackRock, and together they own nearly the entire corporate mainstream media and most of Big Pharma as well. And obviously that's where it comes together, where Vanguard and BlackRock are going to be making money off of vaccine sales, and they will tell their owned TVs, newspapers, social media, push the vaccines and, tamp down any talk about hydroxychloroquine being a cure, and that's it. That's where it comes together. It's all about the Benjamins. And I think when we talk about rebuilding this country after what's obviously going to be a crash somewhere down the road, we should definitely rein in some of these investment companies and say that they have to invest in a single area of endeavor and not just try and buy up the, you know, the media to protect their investments in weapons or pharmaceuticals or whatever it is that they're into. Media ownership definitely should be regulated. And it used to be. There used to be laws that were limiting, how much media any one entity could own. And that existed right up to the time of the first Iraq War, where the U.S. government went to the major players in the media and said, "We'll make you a deal. If you will report on the Iraq war the way we want you to, we will lift the restrictions on how much media you can own, and you can start gobbling up all the smaller broadcasters and independent TV stations." And that's exactly what happened, which is why today you've got six media companies that basically control it all. All right. Let's see, down here in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, I'm really starting to like this guy, he signed a bill prohibiting government from closing places of worship. And this was a real sticking point, when this whole pandemic lockdown thing was going on, where churches were being shut down, pastors were being thrown in jail for trying to hold services in parking lot, and at the same time, bars were being kept open as, essential services or whatever. And and it's turned out in hindsight that all of this social distancing and the masks wasn't really having any effect on the infection rates of COVID anyway. And, someday we'll get to the bottom of the real accurate numbers as to how many people really did have COVID-19, how many people did actually die of it rather than simply die with it, how many people have been injured and killed by the vaccines. And I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly stink, like what happened again back in 1976 with the swine flu vaccine debacle. Turning to the international news, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency is saying that any agreement reached on a restored joint comprehensive plan of action deal in Vienna will have to wait for the new Iranian president. Now, this weekend, Iran is holding their presidential election. The national vote will take place on... unfortunately, this is a flashback. This happened back on June 8th. That's an outdated story, and I apologize for that one. Netanyahu is out of the prime ministership of Israel, but he, on his way out, basically his farewell address was this anti-Biden rant and, talking about, getting Iran and how bad the deal was. And it looks like, barring his actually being charged and prosecuted for corruption, that he's still going to be a major force in Israeli politics going into the future. Now, we've been talking about how there's this organization, this settler organization that wants to Judaize the Palestinian majority neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah. And it's this effort for the settlers to come on in has been quite a controversial situation. This is where there was that video of this New York con artist saying, "Well, if I don't steal your home, somebody else will." Really was a major part of the recent upset between Hamas and Israel. Well, it's gotten a little bit more interesting because one of the homes that was grabbed by this settler organization to house a Jewish family was actually owned by a Jewish family, including Israel's former Attorney General, Michael Ben Yair. And it's a home that's been in his family since before the establishment of Israel, all the way back in 1948. And the house was listed in a 1928 trust document by Ben Yair's grandmother, Sarah Jana. And so this is the Israeli equivalent of a will. And so they made a little bit of a whoopsie. They were just so eager to grab houses, they they grab one that they, well, it's wrong for them to grab all of those properties, but this one's going to have repercussions. And proving that Israel's new prime minister is not really bringing any kind of a change to their policies, Israel is going to expand an illegal Israeli colony built on Palestinian land near Nablus in the northern part of the occupied West Bank, increasing its size by fivefold. Now, Ghassan Douglas, a Palestinian official who monitors Israel's illegal activities in the northern West Bank, said the so-called Civil Administration Office, which is the administrative branch of Israel's illegal occupation, has officially approved the construction of 534 additional units in Shvut Rachel's illegal colony. Meanwhile, Israeli soldiers have injured 33 Palestinians and abducted 8 in Jerusalem. Media sources said the soldiers attacked dozens of Palestinians who marched in condemnation of the provocative procession by fanatical illegal settlers on, you know, Flag Day, as it were. Things are, you know, we had a caller yesterday who was saying that it does appear that world opinion is turning away from Israel. And a good indicator of that is that the staff of the University of Manchester are now calling on the institution to cut all ties with Tel Aviv University in the wake of Israel's recent bombing campaign of the Gaza Strip. And it was an open letter addressed to the university's vice chancellor, Dame Nancy Rothwell, and it said the Israeli university was deeply implicated in the May bombardment, which killed 248 Palestinians, including 66 children. The letter has been signed by 224 people as of yesterday. All right. Getting on over to China, they are really showing their technological prowess. They are now developing artificially intelligent fighter pilots, and they've reached the point where the AI fighter pilots are better than humans and have actually defeated them in test dogfights. So that's going to be something. Okay, now a little bit of good news. Yesterday, the House of Representatives voted to repeal the 2002 Iraq War Powers Act. And it was kind of a fraud anyway, because George Bush lied to Congress in his letter requesting the authorization for the use of force in Iraq. By referring to 9/11, which George himself was on videotape saying, well, Iraq really didn't have anything to do with that. And presidents have used it to start wars without congressional approval as required by the Constitution. So the House is trying to reassert its right under the Constitution to decide when and where and against whom we go to war. Now, under the War Powers Act, the president can deploy U.S. military for an emergency situation, but only for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, he has to make his case to Congress as to why he's doing this and request a formal declaration of war, which he may not get. Okay, let's get into the economic news here. And there's one area where there are a lot of high-paying jobs. And it's basically app developers. And the job search engine Adzuna is saying for the past few months, there have been consistently over 100,000 tech job offers per week live on their platform. 1 week in May set a record of 132,000 offers. Now, the data was compiled for the British government's Digital Economy Council, and it says that the industry is definitely bouncing back from the COVID-19 pandemic. So, yeah, if you are a coder, now's the time to hit that job website and get out of that fast food restaurant. Meanwhile, and this is kind of interesting, it's kind of fun here, General Motors is having trouble finding employees, and it's so desperate, it's considering dropping its policy of mandatory marijuana testing. And, you know, the labor shortage is getting bad when these companies finally throw their hands up and call off the drug testing. And the company is reportedly having extreme difficulty finding temporary summer workers at the plant that produces the Chevy Silverado. GM wants to hire 450 temporary part-time employees at Flint and 275 at Fort Wayne. Okay. Meanwhile, out in California, the California state government has banned Porsche from selling the 2022 911 GT3 with the manual transmission because apparently it is too loud and violates California's sound regulations. And it's a six-speed manual transmission. And Porsche is contacting those who've already ordered the GT3 with the manual transmission with the opportunity to switch to the standard dual-clutch automatic gearbox or simply cancel the order outright. So we'll see what happens there. Porsches are cool, by the way. Okay. Inflation in wholesale prices has increased to 6.6%. We reported this earlier in the week. This is the largest increase since they started keeping track. Okay. Which basically means you're losing 10% per year in purchasing power. So if you're not getting a 10% raise every year, then you're definitely your quality of life is in decline right now. Now, the story, this one from Investment Watch blog, it appears that global liquidity actually peaked 2 months ago, and it is now starting to evaporate as the money gets poured into equities and real estate. Mortgage rates are going to rise, the 10-year Treasury note yield rises after the Federal Reserve meeting. And the Fed is talking about an increase in rates somewhere down the road. It's not immediate. but what the Federal Reserve, you know, traditionally has done, when we get into an inflationary spiral, they raise the rates to try and cool that down, which just increases the pain for ordinary middle-class working families there. Now, I have talked about this next item an awful lot, and it's going to be a problem, and it's you know, unless somebody does something dramatic, we're going to see riots in the street. The moratorium on evictions and foreclosures is scheduled to end on the end of this month. And, you know, with that moratorium ending, there are more than 8 million households looking at foreclosure or eviction. 8 million households that will be added to an already gargantuan homeless problem. Now, much of the homeowners at risk of foreclosure or eviction are either low income or families of color, said researchers who published the 2021 State of the Nation's Housing Report. Now, Congress has dedicated $10 billion to help homeowners get caught up on payments, but it's unclear if that funding will make it to families before the mortgage companies begin sending out the foreclosure notices. So, anyway. Millions more renters are on the brink of eviction, according to Harvard researchers. And census data is showing that 6 million households are still behind on the rent and could face eviction at the end of June. And I think if that many people are made instantly homeless, they're going to be very, very angry about it because they didn't do anything to deserve this. It was done to them. And, you know, homelessness is becoming a crisis of major proportions here in the United States. And, you know, the all this instant money that's been created by the Federal Reserve and the federal government. They're pumping all this money into the financial system, and yet life for those at the bottom of the economic food chain is getting much, much worse. And we saw it with that recent exposure about the tax rates. The system is geared to favor the billionaires, the ultra rich, and everybody else is kind of on their own. And again, we were talking about the homeless problem out in Hawaii. It's an ugly situation, and it's, been growing slowly. But for people who live in the rural parts of the United States, when they go to the big cities and they see the homelessness, it really hits them full in the face. People who live in the cities, there's always been homelessness, and yes, it's growing, and they're kind of used to it, like boiling the frog. Okay, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you've got the money, well, we won't say we
did. Welcome back to our show.
And
over in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, They do have an affordable housing crisis. There is a real shortage, and they do have a high homeless population. And by the way, affordable housing, that situation is going to get worse because of all these large corporations, outbidding ordinary citizen home buyers to buy up all these properties and turn them into rental properties. And, you know, once they have a monopoly, the rents are going to go up here. Anyway, getting on back to Charlotte, there's a member of the city council, Tariq Bukhari, who wants to make it a misdemeanor to give money directly to the homeless rather than going through a charitable organization, which, of course, gets to keep part of that money for their operational costs. I think that's rather absurd, but that's what they're doing. Joe Biden made a promise not to raise taxes on anyone earning less than $400,000, but he's basically closing an inheritance loophole that would do just that, according to a new analysis that suggests a widow with nothing to pass on to her children but her home could be badly hit by proposals that would leave the Biden's personal fortune untouched. So, anyway, Democrats are still pushing for a wealth tax. They want 5% of all assets, and I'm sure the billionaires are already promising huge campaign donations to kill that. And the reality is that, all the wealth of all the billionaires, I don't know where this would be cut off and you know, how much you'd have to have before they confiscate 5% of your assets. But it's not going to be enough to get this nation out of economic trouble. It's in too deep. It's gone too far down the debt road and the fascism road. And, I'd like to see the billionaires reined in terms of their mucking about with my country. We'll see what's going to happen on that. My guess is that this is going to be a non-starter when it actually gets to the floor of Congress. Now, over in China, very interesting development. There in China, back in 2018, there was this outbreak of African swine fever that basically destroyed 40% of China's hogs. It just decimated them, which drove up pork prices in 2019. Now it's gone the other way. The swine fever has been eradicated pretty much all over the country, and now there is an excess of hog. There's a pork glut, and as a result, China's hog futures are plunging near record lows. Well, you know, people are talking about a food shortage in this country. I think some smart person ought to think about getting some of those hogs from China and bringing them back over here. Now, remember back when... Oh, my goodness. How time flies when you're having fun. We've got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with more news after this.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.